Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the Elixir Podcast. My name is Jackie, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you. The intention of this podcast, as it organically unfolds, is to cultivate an experience through the alchemy of storytelling, an opportunity to align with our own rhythm and muse, a listening ritual to inspire and re-inspire, catching glimpses of ourselves in each other. Let's begin our time together by taking three collective breaths. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Amy is a spiritual seeker, holistic health enthusiast, and lifelong learner. She's an avid yoga practitioner, certified yoga therapist, experienced yoga teacher, and continuing education provider. She's also a Reiki master, offering private Reiki sessions and group trainings. Amy teaches from the heart and truly lives her yoga, encouraging students towards self-empowerment and improving physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. She offers private yoga therapy sessions as well as integration coaching, specializing in helping clients with addiction issues, trauma, PTSD, chronic pain, and stress management. In her free time, Amy enjoys paddleboarding, spending time in nature with her dog, writing and reading inspiring memoirs. She also co-leads local and international wellness and yoga retreats and enjoys traveling to new and inspiring places. Before this episode begins, I wanted to let you know that I have an upcoming 200-hour yoga teacher training coming up in August 2023. This hands-on experiential training encompasses topics including asana sequencing, mudra, mantra, pranayama, meditation, yoga nidra, kids yoga, a seva project, and various Ayurvedic practices. Registration for this training is now open and spots are limited, as I keep the training to 10 people max to allow for sacred connection and intentional learning. I'll post the link in the show notes, but you can also apply by going to madreandthemuse.com. Thank you so much for being a supporter of Elixir Podcast. If you love listening to the show, please spread the word and rate or review on whichever platform you're listening on. And now, for my conversation with Amy Sawyer.
You know, all of the things that I've learned probably over the past 10 years prepared me for what I went through last year.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it. Yeah.
When did you encounter, what is yoga therapy and how have you practiced that in your own life? Was that something that you took a workshop on and then was more interested in, or are there tools that you gathered for it?
Yeah. So, you know, for whatever reason, right after I did my first 200-hour training, I heard the word yoga therapy, and it was something I was kind of like, what is that all about? Because I'm very interested in yoga as a healing modality. And I'd even had it on my vision board, a long time ago. And I guess probably 4 years ago, I kind of really started looking into it, and because I wasn't really familiar with what it was either. And I think even when I started my training, I wasn't 100% sure what it was. I just knew that it was more focused on healing and, a therapeutic approach. And so basically yoga therapy is, compared to a yoga teacher, yoga therapist works more with the individual rather than a group. Mm-hmm. And it's very focused on the whole person. So, typically, although you and I know that there's much more to yoga than the physical practice, like most people, that's where they enter in and that's what they think of as yoga. And yoga therapy looks at all the layers of the person. So, if you come to me with a shoulder issue, I'm also going to look at what's going on in your life, energetically, emotionally, What kind of things might be causing that, you know, looking through the chakra model, the Panchamaya model, looking at all these different layers of you to determine, not only, yeah, your shoulder hurts and you need some help with that, but also like, is there stuck energy in your heart space? Is there something going on in your life, in your day to day that is affecting that? And so giving you a practice that really looks at all of those, layers. And so it's very, very, very holistic.
Yeah. Do you meet with people one-on-one for that, or is that something that you offer now?
Yeah. So, one-on-one, is really how it's meant to learn. It's a very individualized approach. So even if I had two different clients and both of them, just so we're talking about shoulder, say both of them have a frozen shoulder, they might get two totally different practices based on, you know, where they are in life. Are they working? Are they retired? Do they have kids? Like, what is going on in their life and what kind of practice do they need that's very specific to them? So it's definitely a one-on-one modality.
Yeah. Wow. So has there been something like, so in yoga therapy, have there been tools and techniques that you have personally used that have helped you?
Yeah. So, you know, breath work has been such a key form of healing. And, you know, it's such a direct link to our nervous system. We can learn so much about what's going on with us physically just by noticing our breath, what's going on emotionally by noticing our breath, and we can shift it by intentionally working with our breath. And so that's been one of the biggest elements that has been really helpful for me, but also my meditation practice has deepened significantly along with pranayama and, you know, just using mantra to help cultivate things that I want to call into my life. And so, yeah, lots of different elements.
How often though, like I'm familiar with those, but for someone listening that maybe doesn't have that practice yet or wants to use those tools and knows about them, but like doesn't know how to implement them, how often for breath work to really be a tool versus just like a random thing that you do or a meditation, would you recommend people, you know, practice those things? What has worked for you? Or have you seen it for others?
Yeah, I always like to think of it like exercise. You know, you don't go out and just run a marathon, right? You have to put in the training and the time and build up the endurance. And I think meditation and breath work can be looked at the same way. So I say, you know, 2 minutes every day. You can squeeze in 2 minutes. It's better to have a daily practice for just a short amount of time than doing a 30-minute meditation once a week. Because we're really working to, you know, retrain our brain and to kind of work that habit in. And so, you know, I started with just doing a couple of minutes of pranayama every day. And then often that would lead into a meditation because that's really, you know, the first foundation of meditation is just breath awareness. But just a couple of minutes a day, and depending on what I need, sometimes it's, you know, alternate nostril breathing, Nadi Shodhana. Sometimes it's just lengthening the exhale to find a little bit more calm. Sometimes it's just breath awareness and just observing where my breath is right now. But I think 2 minutes a day, ideally first thing in the morning to kind of set the tone for your day, to tune into your body and your breath and your mind, is a great practice.
Yeah. Do you, for me, sometimes having like a guided meditation or guided breath work is good because it helps me to like navigate what I should do. And then other times I want the freedom to just sit and do it myself. Do you have any recommendations or resources for people who are like, who want to have someone to guide them? Obviously they could come to like a yoga class or, you know, something like that. But have you found anything that was good for you?
I mean, personally, I love Insight Timer, the app Insight Timer, because it's free and there's so much on there. You can choose a guided meditation. You can just choose a timer. You can listen to singing bowls. There's just so many options. And so you can choose the time. Like I've got 5 minutes and it'll give you all kinds of options. So I love that, especially for someone who, you know, wants a little bit of guidance to start out. That's a great resource that I've found.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I know. I need to get that app back because I have used it before. Now I'm just using just the timer on my phone. But it also, you know, when the timer goes off, you can choose the bell that you want to ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Nice to personalize it. I have a friend who she lights a stick of incense. And then when the incense is out, that's how she knows the time is up, which that's a long meditation. I feel like incense is like an hour.
Yeah. Right. It takes a while to burn. Yeah.
Recognize like, oh, the scent is gone, but So beautiful. Well, cool. And so you're doing that right now. Currently, are you leading classes at Salty Dog, or where do you offer your yoga therapy?
So right now it's just, I've not been marketing it a lot because, you know, I've had a lot of transition in my life over the last year. And so I've just been kind of using this year to kind of find my ground again. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing a lot of clients like at the beginning of last year, and that kind of fell away for a little bit. So I'm just starting to kind of dip my toes back in the water, but I use a very therapeutic approach in my teaching and, you know, and speaking to clients or to students. You know, I'm like, you know, I could really help you one-on-one. That's how kind of more I'm working, with it right now. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I left Salty Dog at the end of last year because I moved off the island and into Wilmington. And I mean, I love Mandy and Salty Dog, but I just needed a change and just needed some distance, and not from her, but just from the beach. Yeah. And so now I'm actually teaching at Del Webb, which is a retirement community, which is right where I live. And so it's not open to the public, but it's just to all of the residents there. And yeah, it's a 55 plus community. So I really like working with that population, and yoga therapy is very appropriate for them.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's so cool. Well, yeah. So I know we had such a deep conversation a couple of weeks ago after a yoga class at TerraSoul, and I definitely want to like dive into that. So you talked about the transition and leaving the beach and all of that. And I know when I first met you, I knew you as someone who owned Island Wellness, like, in my opinion, it was like Carolina Beach's Tidal Creek, kind of, you know, it's like the health and wellness store. I remember when I came, you know, the first time I went in there, I was like, what? This is so cool. I had like a smoothies there, right? Like in the old location.
Do we say that again?
I had smoothies and stuff in the old.
Yeah, the first location I had smoothies. Yeah.
And like, I just remember really loving it, and, you know, and then getting to know you more in Costa Rica, and, you know, when we went on that retreat together, and then found out that Island Wellness wasn't like it went, you moved with Salty Dog, and then now it's, you know, you made the choice not to do that. And I know there's a story behind that. And so I don't know where to begin with that story, but wherever you would like to begin with that story,
Yeah, it's kind of a lot, you know. First I'll say, I love that you said that I was the Tidal Creek of Carolina Beach, because that was my goal going in. You know, I was like, I want to be like a mini Tidal Creek, you know. But, you know, running a small business is hard. And especially, you know, in Carolina Beach, I think I was a little ahead of the curve with Island Wellness. You know, I had a pretty good following, but it just never really was totally sustainable. So I think for a long time, you know, when I moved in and with Salty Dog and we shared space, that was helpful, you know, but it was just, I kind of kept shrinking. I gave up the smoothie bar, you know, things just kept kind of getting smaller and smaller. And then of course with COVID, that threw a whole nother challenge into things. And so at some level, you know, I knew that I needed to do something different, but I had a hard time letting it go. Like, it was that whole, like, oh, I'm a failure if I can't make the business succeed. There was all that involved. And, you know, when I did my yoga therapy training, that was a big part of, you know, what I was looking to, you know, to do next. Cause I was like, I can't, this store is not sustainable. I need to do something else. And so that was when I really dove into yoga therapy. Yeah, I guess with the store closing. So last year was probably the most challenging year of my life. My husband and I separated. We'd been together. We almost made it to our 20-year anniversary, and we were together a couple years before that. So it was unexpected, but not, you know, and I don't know. These are all things I've kind of come to realize over the last year. But we had grown apart, you know, and I think, you know, on a deep level, I knew that our marriage was over, but was not willing to make the step that was necessary. And so he made that step for me. And looking back, I know that he did me a favor and that it was what needed to happen, but it was still very painful and traumatic. And yeah, it was back in last April when he kind of said, you know, like, I don't know if I want to be married anymore. And my first instinct or my first thought was, Where am I going to live? Where am I going to work? It was all those root chakra things, right? My foundation had crumbled. I mean, like that night, I literally was on my phone looking for jobs, looking for a place to live, because I knew, even though over the next couple of months, we were like, should we stay together? Should we try to work it out? Like something deep in me really knew this was it. Mm-hmm. So I knew at that point, like, I will not be able to support myself with this store. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, early in last year. And it wasn't until, you know, later in the year when I was like, okay, this is what's happening. I've got to, you know, I was job hunting and I just knew that the store needed to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I closed it at the end of, actually the storefront closed at the end of November and I dissolved the LLC and everything at the end of last year.
Yeah. So when he said that, internally you were like, okay, this, you know, did you agree or did you try to like save, did you try to prove him wrong?
Yeah. I mean, a little of both, you know, like I can see how, you know, all the stages of grief, you know, everything came up. Like I said, deep down, I knew something in me knew like this, it was like, I knew it was coming. But I never thought he would be the one to do it. You know, like I don't know how I didn't think that, you know, like it was my ego that big. I don't know. I just never thought that it would come from him. And, you know, so there was all of those pieces of grief, you know, the denial, like this can't be happening. We went to marriage counseling a couple of times. That was like the bargaining. Maybe I can make that, we can make this work, you know? And then there was a lot of anger, you know, and it took me a long time to get into that place of acceptance. But yeah, I think at some level I knew like, mm-hmm. this is what needs to happen, but it was also quite unexpected and, you know, ground shaking for me. And so there was that like, no, this can't happen. Yeah, it was very, very scary.
Gosh, because 20 years is like, that's a long time to be with someone. And, you know, in any relationship, I feel like people evolve and change, right? And so it's like, probably at the beginning of your relationship, you guys were both different. You know, different people and did different things. And then as you grew, I know, you know, Brett and I have been in a relationship for a long time. And there's times where it's like, whoa, we're so different than we were when we first started out. And wow. So then like you started researching like where to live and where you were going to work. And then where did it go from there? Did you find a place and start applying for jobs, or did you like find places to live, or did you kind of just have that on hold while the relationship stuff was unfolding?
Yeah. I mean, at first I was like, I'm not leaving this house. You know, we've lived in that house the whole time we were married, you know, 20 years. And like, you know, I was really close with my neighbors and, you know, at that point I was still teaching yoga at Salty Dog. And like, I was very much like, I'm not leaving. And so that's, you know, on some level, I thought like, maybe I can keep the house and, you know, just trying to figure that part out. So that didn't come until later, but I was starting to look for jobs. And so, because, you know, I used to work for PPD for, you know, 13 years, before I opened the store, when I got on LinkedIn, because of that history, all these pharmaceutical jobs were popping up and I was like, I really don't want to go back into that world. Mm-hmm. And then a job popped up for MAPS, right? You know, who, they do, research for MDMA for PTSD out in California. And they were looking for a project manager. And I was like, wow, this is it. You know, I'm super interested in that modality of healing. I have the project management experience. So I applied for that job. I interviewed with them and it seemed to go really well. And then it kind of just went dead. And they had, I had reached out and they were really working on their submission to the FDA. So they're like, that's on hold for now. And so I was kind of disappointed in that because I thought that's really what I want to do. Like that seems really cutting edge and aligns with my experience. And then I, some jobs started kind of started popping up in that realm, you know, with, a little bit of psychedelic medicine. And so I applied for another job, with Mind Bloom, which is where I'm working now. And they do ketamine therapy for anxiety and depression. And so I am a guide and an integration coach, for them, which I really love and really aligned with that, but that didn't actually come through until probably November. So I had applied and just kind of let it go. And I was applying for stuff left and right. I was very much in a place of like, I don't know how I'm going to survive. So it was really challenging. And I didn't even get that job until I think it was in November of last year.
I love how your intuition was like, okay, this is my root chakra. This is, I need like the foundation. And so you went to like, okay, where am I going to live? Like those basic needs met of like job, where am I going to live? Like, you know, you had that knowledge to be like, okay, because a lot of it is your heart. Like it's also your heart, right? It's also like the love you gave, you know, there's a lot of like stuff going on emotionally, but it's freaking amazing that you had the like the wisdom to say, okay, but let me let myself feel held and supported so that I can build up on that. You know,
yeah, I mean, that's what yoga will do for you, right? Like, I mean, without my yoga practice, and I will say for a while, I was kind of like, you know, screw yoga. Like yoga is, I felt was the, one of the, not the, but like one of the things that, you know, on some level made my husband and I grow apart because I started to evolve in a different direction, you know? So I was kind of like, screw yoga. Like it's so much easier to just like be asleep and not be aware of, you know, this kind of consciousness. But after I got past that phase, you know, I was like, yoga is what saved me, you know, it saved me. And just having the tools that I've learned through yoga and yoga therapy. I'd be kind of a heap on the floor right now if I didn't have that.
So what was the, so you ended up moving out of that house, right? I know that you live in this apartment now. What was, I'm sure that was a long process of, you know, trying to figure out all of that. What kind of like shifted you into saying, you know what? Yep. I'm leaving this house and I got this and to feel empowered enough to say like, yep, I'm good by myself. I can do this.
Yeah. Well, I guess there was a few things that all kind of happened. So I discovered that my husband had been having an affair and, you know, Carolina Beach is a very small community and I just felt like I needed to get away. Like it's one of those places where I feel like everybody knows your business. And especially, you know, all of my yoga students, I felt like knew what was going on and it just felt so like I just needed to get away. We actually went to mediation at the beginning of November, I believe. And
what is mediation?
It's kind of like a pre-divorce where division of assets, we kind of meet and decide who gets what and how things are going to be divided. Gotcha. Also like our house was 20 years old. And so like the kitchen sink was leaking. Things were like little things were happening. The back deck, the boards were rotting and needed to be replaced. And I was like, you know, I'll be responsible for all of this if I try to stay in this house. And it was, you know, it's a pretty big house. And I was like, bigger than I needed. But I was like, I don't want to be forced out. I want to leave on my terms. So it kind of got to where it was my terms, you know, like I needed to get away from that island. I needed to be in a place where I didn't have so much responsibility. You know, just cleaning the house, like took a day. Like it was just a lot to manage. And, you know, just the thought of like things breaking down and having to fix them. I just was like, I don't need that right now. Yeah. And so when we went to mediation, we agreed to sell the house. And that was at the beginning of November. The house went on the market in December and it actually went under contract before it officially hit the market. So it happened really fast. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And so, okay. So then you moved out and, obviously he moved out cause the house is gone and, you have your new place and you got a new job or did you kind of, were things kind of like up in the air still during that time?
So I think it was all kind of coming together at the same time and I'll back up and just tell you a little practice that I was doing that, you know, only in hindsight can we kind of see the magic in it. But actually, a lot of things happened last summer that I feel like were divine intervention and just, you know, just things aligning for me. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, the power of energy and vibration and what we really are intentional with is what we attract. And so, I mean, that's how I kind of found out about the affair. You know, I just literally one day was just like, demanding some clarity from the universe. You know, like, I was like, I don't know what to do. I need help. Like, please give me clarity. And it came within a couple of days. Like I found, you know,
so you literally said that you said, like, you just,
I literally said to the universe, like, it was a point of surrender, you know, which I never really understood what surrender was. We talk about it in yoga all the time. Like, you know, just let go and surrender, you know, and in theory, I think I knew, but like to actually do it was a totally different thing. But it was basically like, I need help. I don't know what to do. Give me guidance. Give me clarity. And it came. And that's when the anger came, you know. And anger is really great fuel. You know, anger feels a lot better than sadness. And so around that time, you know, just people came into my life that just like lifted me up and just had such beautiful divine messages for me that were like, I just, you know, I can't attribute it to anything else but divine intervention. I have this book, Everyday Spirit. It's like a daily reader. My friend Caroline Cooley had actually turned me onto it. And it's kind of like a daily reader devotional thing. And she mentioned one day about like writing gratitude in advance and what a powerful practice it was. You know, I've always had a gratitude practice. You know, I'm grateful for, you know, all the abundance in my life, my friends, my family, my health, blah, blah, blah. But this was writing it in advance. So what do you want to call into your life? And writing it down every day as if it's already happened. And so this was back in August. And I started writing down every day that I have all the money I need to do all that I need and desire to do in my life. I have a job that is aligned with my heart and values, making a good income and doing work that I love. I live in the perfect safe community for me and Edie and Chloe, my dog and my cat, with a window over the kitchen sink, a view of the water and a cozy porch. At that point, I was kind of thinking still beach, you know, but that's what I wrote down. And, you know, just a few other things just about being how I wanted to feel, independent and free and those kind of things. And I mean, I manifested them all. Wow. My apartment, you know, I'm in River Lights and I didn't even realize it until after I moved in, you know, but my kitchen sink is like, there's windows all around, like it's light filled. I got a cozy little porch right here and I can see the river from my kitchen window. So I was like, wow, I did manifest that, you know? So that was pretty, pretty powerful. And I forgot your original question.
So I do have another question though, and I should have paid attention when you were saying it. Did you write it in the present tense or did you write it in I will have?
No, present tense. I have all the money I need to do all that I need and desire. I work for an amazing, you know, company that is aligned with my heart and values. Yeah. Present tense.
Wow.
And I'm still doing it. The list has changed a little bit, but I'm still doing it.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that is so powerful. I'm definitely going to try that out. You know, because my curiosity is like, does it make you think about, so like playing the other side of that, it's like, well, does it make you realize that you don't currently have that? Or are you visualizing and feeling what it feels like to already have that? That's what
I think it's the energy. You're just like affirming. I'm affirming that, this is my life. This is what I'm calling into my life, you know, and a few things that happened even before that. So I met someone who, was one of those divine messengers in my life. And he had told me about, going to a sweat lodge and how transformative it was. And I was like, wow, you know, I've always been drawn to Native American culture and like, that sounds really amazing. I really want to do something like that. And I had journaled about it, writing about how I was interested, you know, I would like the opportunity to go to a sweat lodge, didn't know how, even where they existed. And within a week, a friend said, hey, I have a friend who is having a meeting on the Red Road, which is Native American, you know, spirituality. And I just thought you might want to go. I was like, yeah, I want to go. And so we went. And she's talking all about the Red Road and the traditions. And she's like, and I'm going to a sweat lodge next weekend if anybody wants to go with me. And I was like, sign me up. Yeah. I mean, so that came and that was a like such a healing experience. It was just a beautiful exercise of sitting in your suffering. I mean, you know, just really, really powerful. And so, you know, looking back, I'm like, yep, manifested that. And then right around that same time, it was probably within a couple of weeks, you know, I was in this really deep place of grief and just wanting to feel better and just like, how, when am I ever going to feel better? Is this ever going to go away? And, you know, I was like, I just need some deep healing. And I, you know, read all about ayahuasca and things like that. And I was like, you know, I just wish I could go to Peru and just go do an ayahuasca retreat and just like purge all of this stuff, you know? And, it wasn't, I think it was actually within the next day that, my friend Rihanna, Journey to Heal, you know, Rye, sent like a mass email about doing plant medicine journeys, and private plant medicine retreats. And so I messaged her right back and said, you know, I think her email was about like, you know, she had a leaky roof and it was kind of the trauma in her life at the moment and just coping with all of that. And the end of her email said, you know, what's your leaky roof right now? And I emailed her back and said, my leaky roof is the falling apart of my 20-year marriage. You know, please tell me more. And I signed up and went and did some journey work with her in August, which was amazing and transformative, and don't know if I would be as strong and feeling as capable and strong as I do or I did right after that as if I hadn't done that.
Wow.
And so I feel like that also, like, you know, I just, that was where my energy was. I need this. I need some healing. I need this sweat lodge. I need some journey work. And it all just kind of just presented.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, it's like you, yeah. I mean, it's like you cleared the space for that to show up too, you know, and like, oh my gosh. And you told me something else too about a random person that showed up and said something to you.
Yeah. So that was my friend that told me about the sweat lodge. So this was back in July, and it was pretty bizarre. I mean, not really looking back, but he lives in Hawaii. And he has family in Wilmington, and he just happened to come into my store one day. And actually, I think he'd started following me on Instagram, and then I followed him back, and he was a musician. And so he came and I was like, hey, are we Instagram friends? And he's like, yeah, I'm visiting some family. And I was like, oh, I saw you're a musician. What kind of music do you play? And he said, you know, I just love to play music for connection and healing. And I was like, oh, okay. Have you ever done music to yoga? Like, do you want to do a class? He's like, I haven't, but I would love to. So like, it just like, we just planned this class. I was like, Mandy, can we do this class? This was at the beginning of July. This was like right around, like, I don't think when I'd, it was during this month that I found out about the affair, you know? And so, anyway, we planned this class and we just would text here and there about the plans for class and how many people were signed up. And then we talked on the phone one night and I just told him, I think I just found out, you know, like, and he just said all these, it was just like these divine messages about like, you know, you deserve to be treated, you know, like the divine goddess that you are, and, you know, keep your vibration high. I know you're angry, but don't let your anger take over. Like, stay here, take the high road, stay in this high vibration. And I was like, okay. And like, his music is just so, so healing. I mean, I'll just plug him too, if anybody wants to check it out. It's at Ryan Perez Music. He's on Instagram and Facebook. And unfortunately he's not playing locally because he's in Hawaii, but we did another class back in December when he was back visiting family. But his music is really, was something that really got me through that time. And I still listen to it sometimes. The messages are so beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And anyway, we did this amazing live music yoga class that was just so powerful. Like, it, and you know, we didn't even practice. We just like went in and just, it just flowed. And it just was like, just this beautiful connection. And everybody who was there was like, oh my God, that was amazing. And you know, you do live music yoga all the time. And that's why I love it so much, because it's so powerful. But that night after class, like, you know, we just talked and he was just telling me, I can't even remember, but it was all these things that I needed to hear. And it's like, how did he even know to say these things? It was divine. It was divine message. Like, you are worthy. You, you know, you stay in your high vibration. And, you know, like, I can't even remember, but I was just saying to him, like, you know, that he was, you know, he was such a healing presence. And he's like, we're just mirrors. You know, you're a healing presence too. We're just mirrors. And so it was just a really beautiful encounter. And then he was gone back to Hawaii. And I mean, like I said, we, you know, connected when he was back here, in December, but he was one of those people that just came into my life when I really just needed that message.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So when he said that, stay in your high vibration, like, what did that, I know that could mean different things to different people. What did that mean to you? And when you stay in your high vibration, does that mean to you like that you don't deal with the emotion, like the negative, like the anger and the frustration and the sadness and all of that? Does it mean that you don't deal with that and you just overlook it? Or what did that mean for you at that time?
Yeah. So not spiritual bypassing, right? Not like good vibes only, you know, because that's just, you can't just push things down, you know, like they're going to still be there. So it was more just about how I reacted, just to being really self-aware and to, you know, to feel like all the feelings, the rage, the anger, the sadness, the grief, to feel it, but to have a safe space to express it, which was with my amazing group of friends that, you know, surrounded me and lifted me up. But not to lash out at him, you know, to stay in that, you know, I am up here. And because you did this thing that really hurt me, I'm not going to hurt you in response.
Yeah. You chose yourself, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
My worthiness.
Yeah.
So for anybody that's going through a similar situation, you know, do you have any like just, you know, advice or not even advice, but just like words of wisdom to share from your experience that could help them, you know, just like you said, like we're mirrors for each other. So anybody that might be listening to this and it's like they're seeing themselves in your story, do you have anything you want to share with them?
Yeah, that's kind of harder. And we all, you know, experience things differently, but, I think the most powerful thing for me was really surrounding myself with people who, you know, could hold space. And I found through this process, you know, it's been interesting and I have such a whole new, place in my heart for women who have gone through or are going through a difficult separation, divorce, or even just ending a long-term relationship where there has been some betrayal. Because, you know, and I've said this many times that it's almost worse than death, you know, because, you know, with death, it's not someone chose to leave you. It just happened. And with this, it's like they chose to do this thing to you that was really hurtful. And so, it's been interesting, the people that have like stayed away and not engaged. And I know it makes people uncomfortable. And, you know, I even told like, you know, our neighbors and stuff, like I never want anybody to choose sides. I'm not asking anybody to be mad at him. Like I can be mad at him, but that's between me and him. But just to surround yourself with people who are not going to try to tell you, oh, you're going to be stronger, or, you know, just those kind of cliche things that like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and like who are uncomfortable with your emotion. Like I had friends come over and I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm crying. They're like, don't be sorry, just cry. Like, you know, like it was just to have those kind of people that I got chills that could hold the space for it and just be there and be supportive. That's the number one thing, you know, because there were a lot of people that I thought would show up that didn't, you know, and that makes it hard. So find your tribe, find your people that like, you know, can hold that for you, because it's a lot to hold. And I recognize that now, like how, you know, this core group of my friends that wow, they endured a lot with me.
Yeah. Gosh. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that it's, you're so like, I don't want to say like the fact that you can talk about this with such strength and with such resiliency is so inspiring. You know, and you can tell that you've done a lot of work to be in this place where you can kind of see it and know that you chose your worthiness and know that you chose yourself. And now you're just like blooming and, you know, things are, you are staying in the high vibration. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like I said, you know, I remember I was just thinking back, cause I was talking to my mom last night and she's like, can you believe like, you know, where you were last year compared to now and stuff, you know, and even this time last year, there was so much uncertainty. And this is, I think we were, you know, had gone to counseling a couple of times and like so much of like, what is happening? I don't know. But even when I was really in the deep grief and the feelings of betrayal, like just that ache and like, am I ever going to feel better? Like, I want to just get out of this place. And like, we all know that, like, you can't rush it. You can't rush your healing. And I was trying, I wanted so bad to just be out of it. But it takes time. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons too. And the big, maybe a little bit of guidance for those who are in that place is that you can't rush it. You have to move through it, right? You can't just jump over and be better. You have to really bring awareness into everything that you're feeling. And then, you know, for me, I connected a lot of dots with, you know, some just old childhood stuff, and patterns. And I was like, wow, I never saw this before. And it's also given me the opportunity to like learn about myself and what I want to do differently, you know, because, you know, any kind of partnership takes two. And, you know, I was at fault, with a lot of things too. I definitely, you know, can see where I pushed, my husband away. You know, it takes two to make a partnership work. And so I'm looking at also at those things and like, how can I, do things better the next time around?
Yeah. Well, and so you mentioned, so now you're living in this light filled space and you've got this amazing community of people that you're teaching yoga to at the, you know, this with the senior citizens. And you also mentioned the ketamine therapy. Mm-hmm. So would you, explain like a little bit about that and how that can be a helpful tool, and you know, the position that you have or anything about that that you want to share?
Yeah. So, this was kind of new to me until I, you know, interviewed for this job and then ended up getting the job. But, ketamine's been an approved drug for long time. I don't know, like 50 years or something, more as an anesthetic. And only recently in the past, I don't know, 10 years, have they realized some of the, benefits to the brain. And so ketamine creates, a lot of neuroplasticity in our brain. So it helps us to change mental pathways. So we can create change of habits or kind of, work through, things that are just kind of, ruts that have keep us in anxiety or depression. And so, the work that I do is just, it's coaching. So, when clients sign up, to do the therapy, I meet with them right before their first medicine session to do health and safety checks and then help them set intention and make sure that their mindset is where it needs to be. So with any kind of psychedelic type medicine, setting are super important. You know, do you feel safe? Are you in a safe and supported place? And where is your mind? And so I help them cultivate that, make sure their mindset is good. And then I meet with them after to help them process whatever came up, you know, make sure they're feeling okay. And then continue while they're, you know, in the program, continue working with them to integrate their experience and connect the dots, which is a lot of what I've done myself. So, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. And you do it online, you said, right?
Is that Yeah, it's telehealth. So I think that was one of the benefits of COVID that, you know, telehealth really boomed with that, with people really needing help with anxiety and depression. And yeah, so it's all done online.
That's incredible. All right. So are you ready for the three questions at the end that I ask people?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
All right. So the first question is, if you were a plant, which plant would you be and why?
I guess I'll just go with the first thing that comes to my mind, which is a gardenia, because it's my favorite flower and, it's an evergreen. So I love that it's always, you know, just green and vibrant. And I guess the blossoms, you know, remind me that, life is fleeting and, to enjoy what's in front of us and to savor the beauty, and the little, fleeting moments.
I love that. Gardenias are so beautiful and they smell so good.
That's one thing I miss. I'm like, can I put a gardenia in a pot? Because I used to, at my old house, I had gardenias. I had like 3 gardenia bushes, you know, and I was always cutting them this time of year and bringing them inside, and I don't have that anymore. So I'm like, can I get one? Just put it in a pot.
For sure. I have, my patio is filled with plants that probably would be better in the ground, but they're just, yeah, you can pot anything.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, I might have to try that, because I walked by one recently and I was like, oh, gardenia, like I need one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. So the second question is, what sound do you love?
I mean, the sound of the ocean, right? It's so soothing. It's interesting living at the beach for so long. And like, I'm kind of contemplating if I want to even live here anymore, if I want to move somewhere different, you know? So I think that's the beauty of being single, is just the freedom to do whatever you want, which I'm embracing right now. But there's something about the ocean that's very soothing, and just that rhythm of the ocean and the power of it. I would say probably the ocean, or a close second would be like a cat purring or something about that vibration that's really comforting.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm a little bit afraid of cats, so I feel like a cat puts me on it.
I mean, they can be a little scary. Yeah.
I'm getting better, but yeah, the ocean. Have you thought about, like, are the places that you're thinking about moving oceanside?
Yeah. You know, like some of them, yes. Some of them, no. Like I've thought about, Costa Rica is a big one, right? I don't know that I could live in Costa Rica full time, but I'm definitely exploring how I can spend some more time there. I'd like to spend at least a month there next winter. So Costa Rica has been on my mind. California, just because it's so progressive, but the cost of living is insane. So I don't know if that's really doable. And Colorado, caused me, just, it's gotta be somewhere with just really amazing nature, basically. But yeah, when I think of Colorado, I'm like, could I live that far away from the ocean? I don't know. So, we'll see.
Awesome. I'll visit you in any of those places.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, okay, so the last question is, what do you know for sure?
Energy is everything, you know. Energy is really important, and that when we utilize it to our advantage, we can attract a lot. And I think also this, that, you know, we're here, we're each here for a purpose, and, some of us discover it, some of us don't. You know, I think, we always get little nudges about what we're here to do in this life. And we either ignore it because society tells us we need to do something different, or we tune into it and take risk and follow our dharma. And so I think we all have that. It's just about tapping into it. And I feel like I'm finally maybe getting into that place of really following it. I would say, energy is everything, and that we are all like divine children of the universe and are here for a sacred purpose.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and for talking with me. And
thank you, Jackie. It's been a pleasure. I always love to talk about this kind of stuff. So thank you for the opportunity.
How can people connect with you if they want to, learn more about any of the things that you shared, or what is the best way?
So Instagram, Aligned Wellness Yoga. I created a new LLC when I dissolved my store, Aligned Wellness. I'm in the process of updating a website and getting all that with my offering. So that's kind of taken some time. So right now I'm still at Island Wellness Yoga website, but that'll be transitioning to Aligned Wellness in the near future.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Be sure to check out the notes for each show to stay connected with guests, for journaling prompts to dive deeper, and any links to resources and offerings. Until next time.